Welcome back, everybody. And please make sure you check us out on our website. If you don't catch us during the day or the day of the show, you can certainly go back and check it out, right, Don?
Absolutely. You know, we just did some updates to our mobile app. You can pick it up there as well as online. But you just go to thevalleyoutdoors.com, and if you want to listen to this week's show, it's right on the front. If you want to listen to all of our other shows, you need to go into the Valley Outdoors radio part of the app or the website, and you can get to all of our history. But as far as this week's show, it's right on the front page in a bright orange block. Says,
push the button and
listen
it works.
Here.
Push
listen
it
here.
A button. Push it a button. Well, you know, we've had some heavy rains this week, I tell you. Talk about.
Whew. Greatly needed, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they continue to be
for
soakers.
And
if they would start moving a little bit to the north, it'd be wonderful because they're really dry up there, too.
Yeah, and we're getting it around here, so it's not going to be a long-term river-raising event just because it's in the Twin Cities. It drains through relatively
quickly,
rather than being up north and having it travel through the system with a little more, have more longevity. But that's the weather has impacted a lot of different things this last week. Having been almost an uneventful summer, I mean, if you know,
right.
Except for the last week and a half, 2 weeks, it started to be storms and big stuff, and it's like, what in the world? What's this all about? There's two events that were going on this last week. Classic Bass Championship, that's been going on up north. I believe that was on Mille Lac. And then they had the head-to-head event going on, and that's the walleye bracketed fishing, and that's out at Lake McConaughey. And talk about a fishery, a very different fishery. I mean, the storm stopped that. You can be in big trouble with the lightning. Same thing happened up north. Storms, lightning. Lightning in the water is not a good thing, Don.
No, it's I see it anywhere on the horizon, and I'm heading for
Have you
shore.
Ever experienced what happens when you have...
Yes. Yeah. I've been
What was your experience?
Well, I had a situation where I was fishing. This was up in Canada, and we were about 12 miles from camp and on a pretty big size, you know, body of water. It was, you know, like 6 miles across.
Yeah.
And we were about as far, you know, from the camp as we could be. And we could see a system coming over the other side of the lake.
Oops.
And, yes. And, I mean, we were only, you know, half a mile from shore at the time. But my son was in the front of the boat, and he's holding his rod. And all of a sudden, his hair stood up, and he got a zap. He burned his finger. And I said, drop the rod, lay down. I mean, my son was probably only 12 at the time. I said, drop the rod, lay down on the bottom of the boat. I literally sat in the bottom of the boat, and we headed to shore.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to an island just to get something higher than we were, and just waited it out. I've had to do that several times, but I don't take any chances. If it's coming, I head to shore, yeah.
We had an event, the most extreme of them. I was up pre-fishing with a friend of the show, Chris Gilman. We were pre-fishing for the PWT, the Professional Walleye Tour event, up on Leech. And we were out snap jigging. So if you ever don't know the word snap jigging, you have a jig, you feed a shiner onto the jig, and you throw it out a distance behind the boat. You move slowly forward, and you pop it quick, let it sink, pop it quick, and let it sink. It's one of the fisheries that people, you do that. And it's not like everywhere else you do it. So certain fisheries have different techniques that really work well. Well, anyway, rod and, you know, spinning rod in hand, and we're jerking and jerk another one. And what ended up happening was we'd reeled our lines in. It was low clouds. I casted my jig out, and the line went out. The jig went down and never hit the water. So the line was suspended about 8 feet above the water, 10 feet, and the jig was still suspended about 4 feet.
Above the water?
Above the water. The static electricity was so great that it didn't let the jig hit the water. The line suspended. The only way I can get the jig to hit the water is put the rod tip in the water, and then the line kind of went with a 45-degree angle and dropped 45-degree back and then finally hit the water because I grounded it.
That would have been a long time to head for sure.
I told Chris, I nudged him. I said, hey, Chris, have you cast it out lately? He goes, no. And he cast it out, and all of a sudden his did the same thing. I said, yeah, we got a bit of electricity in the air. I think we might look at what's going on. He's, I will be okay. So, okay. Next thing you know, he got zapped the rod right out of his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled my hat off. My hair was standing straight on end. He looked at me. He's like, I think we need to move to a different part of the lake. So we took off. And it was something else. His hand was numb for about an hour. It's spooky. It's spooky.
The scary thing about that is when it happened to us, it was clear blue sky, you know, overhead. It wasn't raining or cloud. I mean, the system was coming. You could see it about 6 miles away. And I saw a flash up there. I just didn't think that the electricity would carry that far in front of the storm. So we had clear blue skies above us, and, I mean, of course, we headed in that direction.
Yeah.
We didn't go towards it, and, I mean, we were fine, obviously, but...
Yeah. Well, so McConaughey is where the head-to-head event is, and so they were blown off, I should say. It was storm lightning, and they had to hold off and temporarily suspend the event. So they had the event, and there was some controversy that went on. We'll talk about that another day. I want to kind of let things settle out so the story can actually play out and find out what really went on. There was a disqualification. It was nothing involving any fishing violation. It was more of a judgment by the officials as to some commentary. So kind of one of those events that I thought was unfortunate. But the guys that were in it, they changed over to trolling. And the trolling from a rod-in-hand scenario, meaning pitching jigs or, like a live bait scenario, it went over to trolling, and we'll talk to one of the guys that won the event and get him on to talk about it, because, you know, not much is talked about in McConaughey, and it's a pretty decent fishery, but again, it's an expansive, flat area.
Where is McConaughey, for those that
Nebraska.
Don't know? In Nebraska.
So, yeah. Kind of
a lot of shade trees around the
a lot of trees, Don.
Yeah,
a lot of trees to stop the wind. Yeah, not so much. It's Lake Mille Lacs. It's out there and standing, just waiting for the next blow of wind. So you can imagine what that looks like. Yeah, exactly. Well, hang tight, guys. We got more stories coming right up after this. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. I like these days when we can just kind of talk about stuff and things kind of happen.
Yeah.
Kind of fun.
It is?
Yeah.
As long as the topic's something I know something about. Otherwise, you're all on your own.
Yeah. Then we have to talk catfish all the time, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all he knows.
I don't know anything about whiskers.
Nothing?
No.
Really?
No.
Yeah, right. I know better. I know much better than that. Oh, I was going to say, we talked about that event last week. There was a bullhead caught on a 4-inch creek chub. The bullhead was, I think it was 8 inches long. 8-9 inches long.
Aggressive little sucker, huh?
I mean, a 9-inch bullhead.
Yeah. He's hardly worth cleaning.
No. It qualified for the rough fish category. Which was nice.
There's a lot of folks that love them, I guess.
I guess. Yeah. I didn't get the comment I was expecting, Ava.
Yeah.
Normally, I like to make a comment knowing what the answer would be just to play.
Yeah, right.
Just to push the button. It didn't
wrong answer. Huh?
Yeah, wrong answer. Maybe I have to try that again, Don. Another time. There was something I'll have you guys look up on. It was a TikTok video. And of course, TikTok is popular, right? I mean, Ava, you know, I mean, we've seen it.
Yeah, I'm addicted. It's bad.
Some of them are pretty funny. You fall into a black hole when you start watching TikTok because it just there
time
is some pretty
just energy. Goes away.
Yeah, and it's gone.
What people come up with.
So, as I'm known to do, I just happen to peruse and try and find some story that involves fishing, and this one came up. It was a video that's uploaded by a guy named Cape Coral. Jade. Cape Coral. Jade. Look it up. Pull it up. And it was last week. It's got 24 million views. And according to the post, the incident occurred in the Florida Everglades in a swampy area where alligators are known to live. There's a guy standing on the edge of a culvert, on the top of a culvert. And he's fishing. And someone mentions that the fish, or gar, seems to have disappeared. They were fishing for gar. The angler continues to fish and cast his lure out, and the person is above him is filming him fishing, hoping he can catch a fish. Well, the edge of the screen, you have to watch it three times, because the edge of the screen, you look in the water, there is a large gator that blended in with the bottom. It's on the bottom that you don't see until like the third time you look at it. And it's like 5 feet from the guy to his left. And he's in the water fishing. And
next he's standing in the water?
No, he's on the edge of the culvert.
Okay.
He's above the water.
Crazy.
You saw it?
And it's funny because you notice it when they notice it too. Like in the video, because you're like, oh, and yeah.
Ruh-roh.
At one point, slowly raises his head out of the water. Another member of the group comments, "This is why it's not a good idea to sit with your feet dangling over the edge of the boat or culvert." And somebody joked about the gator for someone to fall in. And obviously, you get a myriad of different comments. But it was spooky because that thing blended in with the bottom. Unless you had a good angle, you never would have seen it. If you were at a low angle, you'd have just seen water and never seen the fish. So that was, shall we say...
Speaking of dangling feet in the water... One of the places that I've gone many times. And so, I don't know if you've heard this one, but
do you see how he just like took over that? Yeah. Speaking of things, like what?
You know, and you always think about, you know, kids that are got their feet in the water. We don't have gators in the Northland, but you know what we do have?
We do have muskie.
We do have muskie. And it happened, I think it was last year or the year before.
That happened in Minnetonka.
This was in Monarchy, Ontario. And I know exactly where the location is. And a woman had her feet in the water, and a muskie came up, like a 54-incher, and got her ankle. And, of course, they had to take her to the hospital and stitch her up. But, yikes. You don't hear of it happen very often, but it can happen.
It happened in Tonka.
Yeah.
And that was an interesting thing.
That wasn't too long ago.
No, that wasn't. Yeah. So, aggressive species. Thank goodness not quite a gator.
Oh, well, yeah.
But the gator would have taken and ran, I guess is the best way to put it. Speaking of, I'm trying to create the same kind of segue that Don did, and I can't.
It, you cannot top that one.
No. Speaking of things on fire, Don is absolutely on fire.
What?
Not a comical thing. I will say this is a serious event. In the BWCA, acres and acres, thousands and thousands of acres are burning, and obviously due to drought conditions, limited resources caused the closure of the BWCA, which is a really unfortunate scenario. The National Forest Service closed the Boundary Waters Canoe Area on the 21st due to the active and increasing fire activity, and that's why we were hoping it would be further north as far as the rain. Right, Don?
Right.
You know, that's a big thing. The closure came after the SNF, the Superior National Forest, contacted all the canoe outfitters serving the wilderness area last Saturday, including all lands and waters, trails, portages, campsites, canoe routes, and entry points, according to the National Forest press release. They canceled all permits made out through the 27th, and permit holders will be fully reimbursed. That includes also any overnight paddles, any day uses, motorized day uses, and the Forest Service said they would reopen when it was safe to do so. And in the release, they said the closure was necessary for safety of visitors, rangers, and firefighters. Because it's not only if you going in, it's if you go in and a fire ends up being around you and surrounding you, they need to go get you. And that's why there's a permit, and that's why they want to know where you're going. So if you have to say, hey, these guys are in here, we got to go find them, that's the issue, because you're putting everybody else at risk as well. How it developed, that's one of the issues, is the extreme drought. And on Friday, August 20th, the John Elk Fire is what they're calling it, grew from 3 acres to 3,000 acres. And there was another fire they called the Whelp Fire, grew from 30 acres to at least 80 acres. And a Type 3 team, the most elevated level of firefighting squad, had been ordered to respond to the John Elk Fire. There was another fire, they call it the Greenwood Fire, in Lake County. It was being managed by a Type 2 team. It grew to 9,000 acres, Don. I mean, is that crazy?
Right. Well, you know, speaking of fires, the reality is I'm supposed to not be here right now, and the reason I am is because of fire. Where we were going in Canada, the area was closed, so our outfitter that we were going in with had to notify us a few days prior to departure that we can't get into the camp because of fire. Now, having been up there a couple of weeks ago, there was a fire 100 miles north of us in Canada, and the smoke was so heavy on the lake that we were on, you couldn't see the islands down the lake.
And that really, it also impacts your breathing and everything
else. Yes, the air quality diminishes greatly, and it's not that pleasant to begin with. So
no, and closure is actually, it marks the first entire closure of the BWCA since they closed it to COVID. And it was unclear, however, when the last time the wilderness area was closed entirely due to wildfires. I checked on it, and I couldn't
find
any
evidence.
I think
it was like 45 years ago or something.
Yeah, long, long time ago. And I think I do remember when I was a kid, we were going up to Cabotogama, and there were significant fires in the BWCA at that point as well, and the smoke was everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it jumped the border. It was burning everywhere, so that makes a difference. But what makes a difference for us is we're done. How about that for a wrap?
Well, that went pretty quick.
Yeah, went way too quick. Thanks for joining us. We are the Valley Outdoors. For me, I'm Eric, Don, and Ava. We are out of here. Hopefully you'll join us next week on more The Valley Outdoors.